Look, I know you know that I know that you know how busy we all get. Ollie can help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 years and up. And the new Ollie Brainy Chews support healthy brain function with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ollie!
I have to wear a lot of makeup for my day job, but when I'm off camera, I'm all about ease and simplicity. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. One of my go-tos is their Brilliant Eye Brightener. It's ridiculously easy to put on, and it gives my eyes the little perfect pop in seconds. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/offcamera. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/offcamera for 10% off your first order. Hey there, everybody. You know, everyone always wants to know about the behind-the-scenes action on my TV show. Well, in this scintillating episode, the Wizard of Oz himself, a.k.a. Michael Gelman, pulls back the curtain on Live and gives an all-access look at our show and his career. This is a good one. I actually, as much as I like to harsh on this episode, It's a really, really good episode. I hope you enjoy. Season 2 is coming soon.
They said, hey, what about if we shot you out of the cannon? And so I meet the guy who's going to teach me, and he's in a wheelchair.
Oh, I mean, immediately, that's like a harbinger of doom. Is somebody going to cue me, or do I cue myself?
Cue yourself.
Okay. All right, welcome everybody. It's another episode of Let's Talk Off Camera. So let's get talking. Guys, Jan, Albert, this is going to be a barn burner today. I don't want to brag, but this get was pretty ungettable. I don't mind telling you. We've had more no-fly zone talks to prep for this episode than all the celebrities combined. There's literally 97 things we cannot talk about.
But we will.
You two secure this booking?
Oh, listen. I let Jan work her magic. I'm just here as a figurehead. Today's episode is going to be a fan favorite for anybody who is familiar with me from my other job. You know, the money job. If you're a producer of another talk show, stop what you're doing right now and listen to this episode, because you're going to get the juice. You're going to get the meat patties. Yeah. You're going to get the whole thing, because Michael Gelman is joining us today.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to scare him yet. I don't want to bring him on yet. I want you two to give me your backstory. Jan, as the elder, you've worked with Gelman the longest. You are what I would call the designated survivor in the bunch.
And it's funny, I'm still not one of the longest. People have been there for 40 years. I've been there for 26 years.
Only 26?
Only 26. I started as I was a kid. I came in there and I said, please hire me. And he's like,
What did he say? Give me the spiel. Give me the Gelman like, with power spiel.
Actually, let's just get real. What happened was I was at Maury Povich show. Okay, and I was like, I need a way to get out of
No, that's a big no.
And I was like, I need to get out of here. I want to go work for Regis and Kathy Lee at the time.
You were tired of administering paternity tests?
That's exactly what I was doing. Right. I'm not even kidding
okay.
you.
No,
and
I
getting
believe it.
Fake teeth for people so they looked presentable on the air.
Oh my gosh, is that an option?
That is an option.
You know what? Remind me to talk to HR, because I would like that worked into my contract.
And so I was like, I need someone who knows him. And I met this guy, Brett Segan, who was the brother of someone Gelman used to date. Every day I was at Brett's desk being like, get me in front of him. And he did. And I met with Michael. And Michael's like, you're a kid. Like, I was legit a kid. I left college early to right. start working. And he's like, I don't know. I only have producers. I don't have APs. I'm like, call me whatever you want. Just get me in here. And he gave me, I think it started with like a 3-month job. And whenever that 3 months would come up, I would just show up the next day. Like, I wouldn't even allow him to have a conversation with me. And it turned into 26 years.
Yes. That's amazing.
I mean, that deserves.
And Albert, I will say he's an incredible boss.
Yes. Incredible.
Yes. And I'd like a raise.
Jen, I want to have a talk with you.
Uh-oh. Wait, before you pipe in, I just want to hear Albert's story. Albert, you know, Albert didn't have the stones to tough it out with us.
My interview with Gelman, I got there and was greeted by Christine Composto, who took me to the fifth floor conference room.
So she was his then assistant.
Yes, then assistant. And as we're walking, she said, oh, I was in Fire Island this weekend. Where were you? I said, I love Fire Island. We had a whole thing about Fire Island. She takes me in. She brings Michael in. I have this 20-minute interview with Michael, who looks at my resume and says, well, I don't really see how this makes sense, but let's try it out for 3 weeks.
And so 3 weeks, not 3 months.
3 weeks.
Wow, you were on a really tight
time. He goes back
then
to the office. Christine says, he's really great. I like that guy. He goes to Fire Island. And Michael looks at her and says, not the part of Fire Island you go to.
I deny ever saying that.
Well, let's bring him in because he's chomping at the bit. I just want to say that I've been there a really long time as well. Not as long as you, Jan. It's only been 23 years for me.
You're kids, just kids, interns.
But I can easily say that our success as a show that has transitioned many times before me and since I've been there, the one glue holding us all together would be our guest, Michael Gelman. Let's hear it. Executive producer of Live, or as I like to call it, Live. Tell me, you were there before it became Live. Is that right?
Right. So I was there as an intern before Regis was there.
So you predate Regis.
Predate Regis. So I grew up watching the local morning talk show on Channel 7, WABC. And there was this guy, Stanley Siegel, and they kept changing the hosts all the time. There's some really interesting people, but it never got a rating. So I end up being an intern from the University of Colorado, came back, lived with my folks, took the railroad in, and, you know, did everything an intern would do, except it was a local show, so they were so short-staffed that basically a month into the internship, I was coming up with ideas and producing segments. And the executive producer really liked me, and but she's pregnant, like majorly pregnant. And she's like, look, I'd love to hire you, but I'm leaving to have my baby and I'm not coming back.
Oh my gosh.
But about 6 months later, I ended up getting called by some of the other producers on the show who liked my work, and they brought me in. The same deal. Oh, you can come in for a week as a freelance PA. And that week led to two, led to three. And
that's where you honed your hiring skills,
exactly.
Your hiring diplomacy.
Exactly. And at that point, I came in as a PA, but the next thing you know, I was producing segments, even with the PA title. Then we had a title in those days called segment producer. Mm-hmm. But I also used to fill in for the producer at the time, the local producer, who was kind of a screaming, crazy maniac that wouldn't exist in today's world of HR.
Yeah, no, I know about this person.
Yes. As much as I didn't like his style, I just kept my head down, did my job, and became kind of his right hand. And when he started going on vacations, he would pick someone to fill in. And, you know, you have to have the right temperament. You can't be too passive, and you also can't be too aggressive. And you're managing your peers at the time. So, like, someone else did it, and everyone hated them because they were, like, really being rude and bossing them around. And I came in, and I hit the right tones, and, you know, the host liked me.
You're the right combination of passive and aggressive.
Exactly. Like, they felt I was getting the job done without pissing everyone off.
Right.
And so, so I started being kind of the fill-in guy. And then, at the time, I was dating someone. I was a assistant, and I was dating another, like, assistant secretly.
Well,
and
you know.
One day, this producer ended up having a fit and getting into this crazy screaming match, my girlfriend was in tears, and he was just berating her in front of, like, the audience. And she ran out, and she was the PA holding the cards at this time. And I used to do it, so I knew what to do. I took the cards, and, you know, it was like a minute to air. So he starts saying, hey, could you believe that she did this? And I'm like, stop. Don't talk to me about this. And he kept going. I'm like, stop. Let's just leave it alone. I'm, you know, like, doing the job. He starts on the set going nuts, foaming at the mouth, screaming at me as I'm sitting there, like, totally zen and calm. And the audience is, like, looking, and Regis is looking, and Kathy is looking, and, like, what's going on here? And it's a 3, 2, 1. And I sat, you know, I got in front of the camera. He read the cards, and we did this tease. And then in the break, we had real words. And so I actually went and said, look, I've had enough. I'm not happy here, and I'm going to move on. And I ended up getting a job for Regis, actually had another show on Lifetime at the time, and his producer wasn't coming back.
It's so interesting when I hear you say that you went into a zen place, because I watch you do that all the time. The more frantic or the more batshit crazy things happen at our show, you become hyper calm, which I like to think I can really channel my energy in that way on camera. But, you know, off camera, I am absolutely, like, the calmer you get, the more I lose my shit. And I'm like, you have to lose your shit right now. You can't be calm. So you've always had that thing.
Yeah. The problem is, once you lose it in work or in life, in relationships, there's nowhere else to go. Do you know what I'm saying? So my staff knows that I'm very calm and I really don't lose it. But if someone pushes me to the point where I do, then, you know, once a decade, I will.
Sweetie, I've seen people push you to the brink, and I've not watched you crack. You have not cracked. Where I'm like, hold on, let me get a shovel and a body bag, because Gelman's going to murder someone. And there you are, just deep breathing.
Yeah, but you also have to, you try to put it in perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are entertainment emergency. Nobody dies. We're not doctors. We're not pilots. Believe me, I wanted to do it right, and I'm a perfectionist. But you have to realize, too, especially, you know, with our show, that sometimes the mistakes, the imperfections give it that character and are way more fun than everything going perfectly. And oftentimes we'll produce in things that probably will go wrong, because that's what's kind of fun and realistic feeling.
Well, you know, you said that nobody's life is at stake. It's not life or death. But I feel like your life has been in jeopardy many times on this show. I can attest that mine has also been in jeopardy. But I want to go back to the before me, because that's what I find really fascinating. Before, there were cell phone cameras and evidence everywhere, and people could really, like, document things. I feel like the show had a real danger element to it. Like, were you or were you not, confirm or deny, fired out of a cannon?
Yes, I was shot out of a cannon, like the circus stunt. That is a very rare stunt that very few civilians do, but I actually did it. I mean, I am an adrenaline junkie, whether it's skiing at 60 miles an hour or trapezing. I like that thrill. And in my opinion, and I think statistically I'm backed up, most of them are not really dangerous, just like roller coasters. How many people really die on roller coasters? Very few. But it feels that thrill that you get, like, I'm going to die. You know, so a lot of these stunts, I'm down for it. You know, Regis was not that guy. He grew up in the Bronx. He wasn't like a mountain climber, skier, motorcycle rider. He was like a city guy. So the bit was that, you know, we would ask him to do things, and he was kind of game to a point. But then this bit developed where it would be like, at the last minute, like, you know something, I'm way too important, you know, to do that. You do it. And so that became like an ongoing thing. So we knew when we were pitching him these ideas that the bottom line was, in the end, he was going to not do it. So the cannon was a real crazy one, because that was a stunt I wasn't that familiar with. And, you know, we used to have this one, like, smaller circus come on. So they said, hey, what about if we shot you out of the cannon? I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty exciting. I've never seen that really done before other than at the circus. And so they said, look, you got to practice. So I went to Brooklyn and they have this cannon there. I drive out and I meet the guy who's going to teach me, and he's in a wheelchair. And I'm like,
I mean, immediately that's a harbinger of doom.
Yes. I'm just like, huh, I wonder why and how.
Right.
So he's like, don't worry. I just have to explain. Yes, this injury was related to the stunt. But the basic story was, he said, you know, we travel around the country and there are all these statistics and we keep this book on the angle and the humidity and the wind. And so we set everything up exactly. But then just to make sure, we have this like kind of a beanbag dummy that was his exact weight that they would shoot out of the cannon at those exact settings based on their calculations.
And I then wish you could see Albert is crying right now. He's in tears. He's in tears. Keep going.
They would put the airbag in that spot. So he says, so that day, they didn't realize it, but as they're traveling around the country with the mannequin in the trunk leaked and it soaked up some water. I guess there was like maybe sand or something that was absorbent. And so that changed the weight and they put it in and it landed and they put the bag and then that's not where he landed. Okay. So I hear this story and I'm like, you know, I didn't want, at that point, I almost was like, you know, maybe this is dangerous, which I found out later, this
is dangerous.
Is dangerous.
Like, I don't know what makes you think it's not dangerous. Everything about it, from the word fire out of a cannon, sounds dangerous. Even the circus performers that do it, they don't seem like they're particularly enjoying it. You know what I mean? It's the one like joyless thing. They come out and they go, oh, but you know, they look like rattled, you know.
Well, they should be, because what I found out during practice was that every time you even practice this stunt, it's like getting hit by a car. You have to get down the, you know, the shaft. And then you have to, they're like, okay, now tighten up your legs, lock your knees, tighten your butt muscles.
Lock your knees.
Pull in your abs. Yeah, okay. Like basically become like a human arrow. And then tighten your neck, tighten your whole body. And then they go 3, 2, 1. You get propelled out at like huge impact. And then you put your hands up.
Once you come out.
Once you come out. And they go, don't do that too early because you can have your arms ripped off.
Yeah, you'll have your arms ripped off. Right. That's what I was just thinking. I was like you have like a nanosecond to conceptualize what happens if you don't put your arms up?
Nothing. Then you could hit your head. I don't know. I think it's really more of a stylistic thing with the arms. So they wanted me to keep practicing. And I said, you know something? After the second time, I'm like, every single time I'm endangering myself and getting hit by a car, I'm done practicing. I'm ready.
So just the two rehearsals then.
Yeah,
the people that do it for years and years and years, but you were like, I got it.
I got it. It was like as dangerous practicing as it was doing it. So I'm like, I don't want to do this too many times. I'm like upping the odds of injury. So we get out there and I think they may have started to get cold feet about me hurting myself.
The television show or the
circus performers. The circus people. So they had the airbag closer than it was like in rehearsal. And I think they lowered the amount of the pressure that was going to be, you know, propelling me out. But the worst part was the director took the shot from straight ahead, which is not the shot to take, because basically with all this danger and all this preparation, it looked like I like plopped out of the cannon on live TV and it was humiliating. It looked like, you know, that it's like I sputtered out of this cannon.
Just a little sputter. Smoke.
But now the funniest part too is that I had custom made a one piece like superhero jumpsuit out of Lycra. And of course, just for just for fun, I had Regis and Kathy Lee, this huge label sewed onto the rear end. So the whole bit was very funny, but it was totally ridiculous. And I lived to tell about it.
I'm glad that you lived to tell about it.
Me too.
You know, I'm thinking back to some of like the crazy stunts that we've had. We've had like stunts that we've done that are just like part of the show. I'm recalling that wall walk we did in Vegas during one of the Cirque du Soleils. I remember the time, was it Josh Groban, where I thought Science Bob had killed us both because there was a massive explosion. And it was really just sound and a lot of smoke. But I was convinced that Josh Groban was killed in the process. but do you, Jan reminded me about this, the man who put on the most t-shirts.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we had one of the earliest appearances in the States, maybe even the first one, from this guy, Wim Hof, who now has become this huge, you know, guy.
I have the picture of us together, of him sitting in the ice. Yeah, I have it.
We built that huge plexiglass tank, filled it with thousands of gallons of ice, and he was submerged for like, I think it was 17 minutes, whatever. He broke a world record. I mean, the fact that he was in ice and the fact that he was not breathing was pretty incredible. But yeah, that things like that seemed dangerous, but the one that really scared us in the end was one that who would have ever thought had any danger to it. Was we had a radio DJ, and I guess he had done this before. We're going to break a record for the most t-shirts put on at the same time. So he starts putting them on, and we're live on air. We had practiced it, and I think he had the old record, and I guess the t-shirts like were inhibiting him being able to breathe, you know,
and the weight,
all
the
of a sudden I'm seeing he's putting them on and he has helpers, and I'm seeing this like distress, and we're on live TV. So like, even though the camera was on and like, I didn't want to like ruin the TV moment, it seemed like there was real something happening there. I jump in, I like pull on his t-shirt by the neck and start pulling it, trying to give him room to breathe. And I took these scissors and I start cutting like on the air. And I think we went to break. He ended up being fine, but it was one of those moments where I was actually afraid, because it's like, again, this is fun and games and we don't do anything that's, I consider, real danger. But this like became scary live on television.
So I was trying to tell this story. I was at a dinner party and they were like, oh, what happens when something goes wrong? What happens when something goofy happens? And I go, well, the really goofy things really happened before I got there, because the show used to be a much more like a wild, wild west sort of like free for all, much less networky, much more local. And I was trying to retell the story, but I did a terrible job retelling it. And so I'm hoping you will tell our listeners about Zsa Zsa Gabor Gate on Live.
Melojo, my production company, is such a small business, so when we hire someone, it makes a huge impact. And Albert, I know you wear so many hats over there, you might not have the time or the resources to hire, but LinkedIn changes all of that. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. So, Albert, the next time we're hiring, if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. We got Roz, so we know it works. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/offcamera. That's linkedin.com/offcamera to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, Jan, the weather's getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. If you've been waiting to update your wardrobe for a long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Build up a lineup of timeless pieces that keep you looking effortlessly chic year after year. I've been telling you about Quince for a while now, and I plan to keep telling you until you get the message. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. I just took a few of their cover-ups on vacation, which were the perfect easy-breezy looks to wear. And right now, they have these tank dresses that are in the cart, ready to check out. Go look on their website. These tank dresses are effortlessly chic. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/off-camera for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/off-camera to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/off-camera. So I'm hoping you will tell our listeners about Zsa Zsa Gabor Gate on Live. I'm hoping and praying.
I don't know the story.
Oh,
because it's a barn burner. It's my favorite. It's my favorite story ever.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy time. You know, Zsa Zsa had been on a couple of times before, and Regis really liked her as a guest. She was a character. She was kind of a Kardashian of her time. And so we'd had a couple of situations where there were some strong negotiations about, you know, what we would provide, which usually is a car from your hotel. a car from your hotel to the studio and a car from the studio back to your hotel. And sometimes when it was someone important, we would pay for a couple of nights in the hotel, room and tax only. And, you know, you have to put your card down and
for incidentals.
Yeah. You know, she would come on and these things were all agreed to. But then she would check into the hotel and say, oh, I don't have my credit card. And they had let her in anyway because she was Zsa Zsa. And then they'd call us and say, oh, you know, she had a dinner party or whatever in the suite, and now we want you to pay for it. And we're like, guys, we told you, that's it.
Right.
And then the same thing happened with the car. Like, all of a sudden, you know, they took this limousine and, you know, we get this huge bill that was half my month's, you know, transportation bill because she, like, took the car and she kept it all day. And so this time we were very specific. The car only from this to this. The hotel, you must check in with a card. And we also provide makeup and hair while they're at the show.
Right.
So she comes and she goes in, and I wasn't exactly there, but Claudia Cohen, who is our entertainment reporter for many years, was getting her makeup there because she was also on the same show.
Right.
But there's plenty of time for her to get her makeup and Zsa Zsa. But Zsa Zsa stuck her head in and thought she should get her makeup immediately. And
even though she wasn't going on until after Claudia Cohen.
Well, definitely after the host chat, which we have plenty of time. You know?
Right.
So they have words. And next thing you know, we're doing, as you know, the billboard where you say, coming up on the show today, blah, blah, blah. And then Regis is reading against and Zsa Zsa Gabor. Well, Zsa Zsa stumbles out on the stage.
Oh, no.
As if he was introduced.
No.
And so I think there was some impairment there, I should say. Okay. I didn't do any testing, but there seemed to be some impairment.
The video I saw, there was impairment.
Yeah. So stumbles out and like ranting and raving and angry. And in those days, it was pre-7-second delay and cursing, saying that blah, 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 you know, Claudia Cohen and, you know, and she's...
But she's got the funny accent. So at first, you're not sure what she's saying. She's
on the air.
It was off the rails.
On the air.
And
on the
so
air.
I'm like...
Not commercial break.
You know, what do you do when things happen like that is, go to commercial.
Yeah,
I'm going to the stage, man, commercial. You know, but Regis is trying to be like gentlemanly and like she's old Hollywood. He's like, no, Zsa Zsa, calm down. Come over here.
Yeah, because she's like wandering around, right?
Yes,
she's wandering.
Exactly. He's trying to de-escalate it, and he doesn't want to have bad blood with anyone. So, you know, I was ticked off. I mean, that, it's just rude. We've also now had curses on TV, which are against, you know, FCC regulations. There's a lot of things that are wrong with it. So he calms her down and she stays. And then she actually stays for like another segment, which is also off the rails. But he calmed things down. So the next thing that happens is she takes off. Now, again, the car was just supposed to take her either directly to the airport or the hotel. And I get a call from the car company is, oh, Zsa Zsa's stopped at the 21 Club for lunch. So the driver says, what should I do? I said, well, drive away. She goes, I can't. She's got all her luggage in the car. So I said, take the luggage, give it to the, you know, doorman and drive away. No, guess he starts doing that. And Zsa Zsa comes out and starts ranting in a way that, again, seemed impaired, including allegedly saying some anti-Semitic things and just very toxic. And then I believe also that the driver was saying that, you know how they have that liquor in the back of the...
In the
car. So
the complimentary booze that's I always thought assumed was a prop.
Yes. Yes. I've always been afraid to take a sip.
Yes, exactly. Who drinks that? It's just a prop.
So, so it made big headlines. And that was actually the last time we had her on.
At what point on the show did you go from being an executive producer to a character on the show?
You know, it was very slow. Here's what happened. So Regis always kind of broke through that wall of reality where he'd, you know, either he'd talk to the people off camera, usually to blame things for going wrong, you know, because when you're on live TV, a lot of things go wrong. So Regis would acknowledge it to whoever his producer, the cameraman, like, come on, keep me in focus or, you know, and it was, it was very entertaining. It was kind of the first, I'd say, like, reality-ish TV.
Right.
And he would do that. And it was a fun device. So he did it over the years on a lot of his shows. But when it came to me, it just went on. I never left. He's talking to me day after day, year after year. And so it just kind of built. So what was, I mean, people think, you know, that's my job. And sometimes even in our own TV station where I've worked for 40 years, people will see me at like 6 o'clock, like leaving and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're still here. I'm like, I've been here every day for the last 40 years.
It's only a 1 hour job.
Right. Yeah. They think I'm on camera playing the producer.
Playing a producer. Right.
I'm really producing. And this is a side hustle that, by the way, I don't get any extra on-camera appearance payments for. It's not like, hey, put me on camera. Oh, $500. Yes.
But don't you find that all the executive producers of talk shows now worm their way onto camera because they all think that they're the next Gelman?
You know, it did become kind of a thing where other shows have tried to emulate that. I mean, you know this too, Kelly, is like the things that we do get picked up as part of, you know, kind of the language of modern TV. You know, someone steals it, someone else steals it, they modify it. I mean, there, as we all know, there are no new ideas and we didn't invent television, live television talk. I realize it. But there is a lot of programming that goes on that, like, we do something and all of a sudden that becomes a thing. And
I love when we get accused of ripping off somebody else's show. And I'm like, pardon me, we've been doing this for about 15 years before that show existed.
And you know what's funny, too, is like I specifically don't watch other shows. Like when new talk shows come on, maybe I'll watch one day just to like know what my competition is.
I feel like we're too busy working.
Yeah, that's part of it. But also I don't want to be swayed. Like I don't want to be like, oh wow, that's kind of a cool way that they do this contest. And then I steal it. I want us to be original. And when sometimes like we used to do these weddings on the show.
Oh, I know.
So we started and it became this huge thing and and then we would do one, then we would do two, then we would do a week and it became bigger and bigger. But then every other show started doing the weddings.
Yeah.
And at some point I'm just like, look, let them have it. And then we moved on to some other things.
Same with our Halloween show. That's now I'm like, every show rips off our Halloween.
Yeah, but you
show.
Guys own Halloween.
We own Halloween, but you it's do. Like, it's been like so oversaturated. Yes.
We didn't invent Halloween. We didn't invent people dressing up in costume on television. But
we did invent Gelman dressing as Britney Spears holding a giant python.
That we did invent. No one's been able to equal that.
Like, you were wearing a boa constrictor.
Right.
I mean.
That was a real 120-pound albino.
Yes. I remember. Constrictor. Is that where the Saturday Night Live parody came from? I always liken the Saturday Night Live parody of Chris Kattan playing you to you dressing up as Britney Spears.
Yeah, I mean, SNL started doing takeoffs on our show, and I was very honored. And there was plenty to make fun of. I always thought it was a real compliment. And, you know, I like comedy, and I don't mind.
Yeah, we don't have thin skins.
Right, exactly. And they would always, though, portray me, not in the way I would have loved to have been portrayed. First of all, I always had, like, half the time I had a clipboard and a headset. I'm like, I've never had a clipboard or a headset.
You know, but that's how they know it there at NBC. They're big on clipboards. Everybody's got a clipboard.
You know, that's what producer, that says producer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then because of our Halloween dressing up, where sometimes we would dress, like female characters, all of a sudden I was being portrayed as this effeminate, closeted, straight guy. I mean, that's it. You know, so I'd be wearing a boa and then, you know, my character would be exclaiming like, oh, Lori, you know, to my wife, you go home, I'm going clubbing, or, you know, or I'd be wearing a sombrero or, you know, whatever it was. But I still thought it was very funny. And I was portrayed, I think, by 6 or 7 people, including, I was just looking back at it, David Spade and some other very talented comics. And then when you took over, the same thing. And then finally, they asked you to be the host that time.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that took years off of my life. Because don't forget, I was shooting the sitcom back then. And I had Joaquin was a baby, maybe 6 months old. There was the morning show every day. Those hours are the opposite hours. But you guys were like really enthusiastic about it. So I feel like
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a part of American culture and pop culture that, like, you really made it in entertainment and comedy, that I thought it was great. And you did a great job. But we came to support,
you guys all came. I couldn't believe it.
And I'm walking through a hallway, and then I see Chris Kattan, who we had on the show.
Yeah, right.
So I see him. And he sees me, and he, like, runs in the other direction.
I know what I'm buying my mom friends for Mother's Day. The Ori joggers. Jan is obsessed. My stylist Audrey is obsessed. So I know they're a sure hit. And if any one of my family or friends are listening to this podcast, hint, hint, these would be a great gift for me. They're designed with their dream knit stretch fabric, which I love because they're so ridiculously comfortable, but yet look so good. By the way, they're not just for women. I'm ordering them right now for Mark because Father's Day is right around the corner. No matter how you stay active, running, swimming, yoga, or just running weekend errands, Vuori is for you. Vuori is offering Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at vuori.com/offcamera. That's vuori.com/offcamera. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to vuori.com/offcamera and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Jan.
Yeah.
Isn't everyone looking for a sparkling clean bathroom without the hassle, aka the endless scrubbing? I know you're sick of scrubbing. Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner is here to revolutionize your cleaning time. Just spray today, rinse tomorrow, and voila! You speak French! And you enjoy a sparkling clean shower and tub without any scrubbing. That's right, zero, zilch, also German, scrubbing. And it works on shower, glass fixtures, tiles, and more. And if you don't believe me, check out the 33,000 5-star reviews and save time for the things you love. Join the ranks of satisfied users who enjoy more me time and less clean time with Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner. Available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware, it's the perfect choice for anyone wanting to simplify their cleaning routine. Don't miss out on the chance to transform your bathroom cleaning with just one application a week. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner today and join the thousands who've already made the switch to an effortless clean. Albert, I know you're too busy to be frizzy, so grab Waze new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I'm loving it because it helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching my bone dry hair with intense hydration. And during the summer, that's something we could all use. You'll also be way obsessed with Waze bestsellers like I am. My new favorite is their scalp and body scrub. It's a blend of sugar and coconut oil that cleanses, exfoliates, and moisturizes all at once on your scalp and your skin. I'm also really into their wave spray for this summer. It's a weightless, salt-free mist that gives you that just out of the ocean and my hair dried perfectly look. You know, like that look that is so unattainable. It doesn't make my hair crunchy at all, and it's super easy to use. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code OFFCAMERA for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code OFFCAMERA.
I'm walking through a hallway, and then I see Chris Kattan, and he sees me, and he, like, runs in the other direction. Like, he thought I'd be so mad for his portrayal of me that I'd, like, come after him.
They're always afraid that they've offended. I guess they probably deal with two kinds of people. You either think it's funny or you don't.
Right.
So he wasn't sure which one you were.
I guess. But I thought that was really funny. I'm like, oh, my God, Chris Kattan just ran away from me. You know?
I'm trying to paint a picture for people that don't watch our talk show. Anybody that's like a listener that doesn't know me from the talk show, although I can't imagine there are many. But people always say, oh, their workplace is like a family. But ours actually really, truly is like a family. Can you sort of explain how it works and why we haven't fizzled out the way so many other shows have?
Well, I mean, I always describe the show kind of as a faux husband and wife, which is funny because now we've graduated to a real husband.
Yes, we've graduated. Yes, right.
You know, we're getting real now. So it was always kind of a faux husband and wife who are, you know, better looking and funnier than the normal husband and wife. So they're a little aspirational, but they're very real, and they're getting together for their morning coffee. And then their friends are coming by, and their friends happen to be celebrities. And we're just having kind of fun together and having this little party at home. And so it really is about family. And we've tried to keep it that way, you know, kind of keeping to our local feel where this is a smaller show that, you know, we're talking one-on-one about things people care about. And then, of course, we get to whatever their plug is. But that concept has worked, and we're doing things, whatever people are talking about, we're doing. If it's, you know, crazy stunts or if it's in the news, like, we're at least dealing with it. We're not dealing with real news, obviously. When this show started, I mean, if you think about most movie stars, TV stars, you know, no one knew anything about them other than this very superficial facade. You know, like, even people now, you don't know about their mothers, their fathers, their kids. Like, most TV hosts, I mean, that's a whole different thing. Yeah. With us, because it was daytime and it was very family-oriented, I mean, we've kept it so that people can see that. And in today's world, with all the different digital platforms now, it's become way more normal that you're seeing people out of, like, this studio facade.
But yet somehow they still come back to us, like the audience has never.
Yes. Well, you know, we've developed an audience that now has this history. So, you know, they know you, your kids from before they were born. They say to me all the time, oh, yeah, I remember when you were dating Lori. Oh, mm-hmm. I remember your honeymoon video. And
we all remember that. It's on OnlyFans, listeners.
So, yeah, I think now it's, we do have that home court advantage because now with all the different platforms, television is changing so that it's very hard to gain an audience because there's so much great programming out there. There's so many distractions between all the streaming channels and the cable channels and the digital platforms that people get lost in the shuffle, you know.
Exactly.
But with us, they know us, and that really is something that we're established. And so that's very hard to come to this level in this new media reality.
What is your piece of advice for someone who wants to get into the biz, the television business? Because I've been hearing since I started at All My Children that television was dead. And, you know, here I am 30 years later, still earning a living in television. And it seems like there's more and more TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little extreme. And it's not dead. I mean, just like people were saying, oh, radio's dead. I mean, radio
is radio.
And, you know, so it's not dead. I mean, I would say to people that you have to think in the future, not the past. So like a show like ours, you know, in 10 or 15 years, or even now, I mean, there are not going to be that many new hit daytime TV shows, in my opinion, because they're too hard to establish, they're too expensive. But there are going to be like, hey, great podcasts and shows on YouTube and Facebook. And, you know, it's not going to be as traditional. So you can't be thinking old school. I mean, even just streaming, you're going to have streaming, but it's going to be different than it is now. Everything doesn't have to be a half hour, an hour. You know, they could be little 5-minute pieces. You could go 2 hours. I mean, there's so many ways to create programming. But if you really focus on writing and storytelling and put yourself out there, I think you're going to be able to work your way through what the new realities are. Just look forward. Don't look back is what I would say.
Albert, did you write all that down?
I did.
When you want to start your career in television?
Right.
Before we let you go, I just want to talk about these two people, TJ Holmes and Amy Robach, really quick.
Okay.
That was like a huge scandal for ABC. Are you worried that your two hosts now might be caught in some way?
You guys aren't having sex, are you?
I told Mark for the duration of our time on the show, we should absolutely not have any form of because
I think we can't be having that.
Mark just quit the show.
We're not trifling around on the news division. We're the entertainment side. We're the place where you
it's
could maybe
way looser.
Maybe you could, you know, maybe you could bang your co-host. Who knows? We'll see. You know, I just want to say in seriousness, I always say that if Michael wanted to, if he wasn't so loyal and devoted to us, he could have easily run a network and been the head of a studio many times over, many, many times. And I don't want to make you rueful for what could have been or should have been. I'm just paying tribute to you and saying thank you.
I appreciate it. And sometimes I do have regrets. Like,
don't we all?
I'm like, wow, that's a really crappy resume. But
wow.
At the same time,
when she says it like that, she's right.
No, but at the same time, truthfully, when I see what these execs do, it is not fun. You know, I love being kind of in the trenches, making the TV happen, as opposed to someone who's like in an office, wishing they were doing what we're doing and telling them what to do and playing the politics and having all the aggravation. So I'm glad that I'm still doing what I'm doing and I'm looking forward to many years of you, Mark, and I together.
The world's weirdest throuple. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Michael.
Get
All
back
right.
to the
Bye-bye,
tennis
guys.
Courts.
Yes, that's right. I'm going right now, actually.
Good. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Michael.
Very proud of him. Did you feel like a mother hen like I did?
You know, that place is a really, I mean, not to get like emotional or anything, but like that place is a really special place to work. It's like a real family. We've all been together for so long.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, I felt like a little mother hen listening to him talk. it's like all my memories, you know, it's my whole life has been there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it really is like a very special place.
It is.
Very,
it
very
really
special.
Is.
I always say the people there are laugh and fight like siblings. Everybody behaves like siblings and family members.
Oh, yeah.
There's
absolutely.
No, 100%. You can scream at someone and then a minute later you're, you know, going out to get lunch with them. Like it's not like, it's unlike any other place.
It's like any other place we'd all be fired.
Yeah.
And like it does stem from the top. So like mm-hmm. you got to give him all the props. Because we've been through so much together. I mean, people in that place have just been through some really great moments and some really bad ones.
Yep.
And he's remained the captain of that ship.
He's very steady.
Yeah.
Very, very steady. I wish he would get a little more worked up once in a while. Like, you know, it's not a problem I'm ever going to solve. It's like there are Zen people and then there are people like me. Like I'm like a Tasmanian devil.
And still producing, Michael texts me, you can tighten up any of my long-windedness. Okay, Michael.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're a new podcast, so follow us. And if you're not sure how to do that, all you have to do is hit the little button on the top right corner of your iPhone. And if you like us, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, but make sure you give us a good 5-star review. Even if you feel indifferent. Let's Talk Off Camera is available every week on all major podcast listening platforms. Can't wait to talk off camera next week. Bye. Woo! Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa is a co-production of Melojo Productions and PRX Productions with help from Goat Rodeo. Our theme song is Follow Me from APM Music. From Melojo, our team is Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, Albert Bianchini, Jan Chalet, Devin Schneider, Michael Halpern, Jacob Small, Roz Therian, Seth Gronquist, and Julia Desch. From PRX Productions, our team is Kara Schillen, Genevieve Sponsler, Megan Nadolski, Isabel Kirby McGowan, Edwin Ochoa. Additional sound design by Terrence Bernardo. The executive producer of PRX Productions is Jocelyn Gonzalez. This show is powered by Stitcher.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.